Okay, so third segment of the lecture. What I want to talk about here is a little bit of this odd position between the humans and the Oenkali. And that position is not precisely visible in the first 80 pages of the novel, but I want to talk about it because her position, you can already sort of see it. You can understand that the Oenkali imply that Lilith is going to serve as a kind of, interpreter, emissary, mediator between the Oenkali and these groups of humans that will be awakened later. So Lilith's position, by the way, has a lot to do with her name, why Butler calls her Lilith. So I'll say a bit about that as well. So as dawn moves forward, we learn that Lilith is to be the guide for other humans in captivity. So eventually she'll serve as interpreter between Oenkali and humans. She'll serve as an emissary. And then eventually, sort of a spoiler, I suppose, but you can see it coming, she'll serve as the mother of the first Oenkali human hybrid. So critics have pointed out Lilith's name, which is drawn from sort of alternate Bible stories, is significant along these lines. All right, so in an alternative version of the Garden of Eden story, an alternative version of Genesis, Lilith was Adam's first wife. So the story goes that Lilith refused to submit to Adam's rule, and as a result, she was repudiated and cast out of Eden. So originally kind of a Sumero-Babylonian goddess, she was assimilated in the biblical Genesis by Hebraic tradition as Adam's first wife. So once Lilith is cast out, her fate is to mate with demons. So in Lilith, we have a kind of alternate creation story where instead of two humans mating together in a heterosexual manner, we have a human mating with demons to produce offspring that are not quite human. So this will be Lilith's fate in Dawn as well. She and the other humans have been designated to mate with the Oenkali and produce a new race of half-human, half-Oenkali. So as the critic Megan Aborn notes, the figure of Lilith has often been taken up by feminist critics and writers because she stands in opposition to Eve, who is the idealized version of a mother. So Aborn writes, this Lilith is a figure who is not fully legible, both because she is non-canonical and therefore unknown to many because she is a non-idealized mother. So if you think of Lilith in Dawn, first of all, she's a very strong female character. She's very independent. She, even when she ends up with a human mate, that coupling looks nothing like the sort of Adam and Eve coupling. Lilith is, that relationship will sort of be equal, and or Lilith will sort of be perceived as in charge. And again, instead of being the mother of all humanity, as Eve is, Lilith is going to be the mother of this kind of race of beings that are not human, and that so we've been talking in some ways about this in this course about the problems of that, of defining the human too narrowly, right? So if you think of the human as this rational subject and as the subject that kind of has this history that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, every time you encounter a human who doesn't quite seem to fit that category, that human is sort of cast out and considered, well, weird in kind of a negative way, right? So people of different ability, people who are queer, women, right, colonized people, all these people have been considered sort of less than human at various junctures in human history. And so by undoing that tradition, by proposing an alternate tradition, Lilith in Dawn presents this possibility for kind of other forms of human life that are not so restrictive, or other categories of the human that are not so restrictive. Okay, so that's the positive version. Everything has kind of a negative and positive version in Dawn. So the idealized version of Lilith is like she's, she provides this alternate human history where the definition of human is not so narrow. But it's also true that as a mediator between colonizers and the colonized, Lilith as a figure recalls a long history of colonizers mating with colonized women. And so in some ways, Lilith is a traitor, right, to these colonized humans on the ship. And that's the way that these women, who became the sort of mistresses of slave masters. These women were sometimes perceived as traitors, right? Judas goats is the way that Dawn's Lilith puts it. Okay, so that's all to say that Lilith occupies this sort of strange position, which is both has these positive elements in terms of undoing narrow categories of the human, but also has these negative elements in terms of referencing this history of slavery. All right, so that ends this segment. In the next segment, I'll expand on this problem of human hierarchies, which is the way that the Owen Colley diagnosed humans.